Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and for the last several weeks, we've been studying the prophecies contained in the book of Daniel. And in our study today, we find ourselves in Daniel chapter 11. In our last few studies, we covered the important prophecy contained in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Now we're jumping over to Daniel 11, verses 36 through 45, which describes the last day's events relating to the Antichrist. And it's not that the passages in between these portions of Scripture are unimportant, but primarily we're looking at the prophecies for our future that are contained in the book of Daniel. Those references in Daniel chapter 10 and 11 up through verses 34 is a great portion of Scripture to study, but we want to focus on the last day's events here, focusing on the reign of the Antichrist. And Daniel 11:35 reads this way, "And some of those who have understanding shall fall, to refine them, purge them, and to make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time." And here, as we pick up this phrase, the time of the end, this is a clue that we're dealing with the last day's events of biblical prophecy, even times that are related to our future. And a good way to divide this section in verses 36 through 45 is to see that verse 35 and verse 36 describe the last world ruler, who we commonly call the Antichrist. In verses 37 through 39, it describes the last world religion. And then in verses 40 through 45, it describes the last world wars that'll take place during the tribulation period. But let's look at three things that are said about this last world ruler in verse 36 of Daniel chapter 11. "Then the king shall do according to his own will." So the Antichrist will have the ability to do what he desires. He'll have such political power and might, as well as economic prosperity, as well as a mighty military machine, that no one will be able to stop him. Now, one thing we do need to point out is that God is allowing all this to take place. The Antichrist is not the center of attention in the tribulation period. It's really Jesus Christ. He's the focus, and he's allowing the Antichrist to be raised up so that God's purposes could be fulfilled. And the way this Antichrist will have the ability to do according to his own will is that 10 kings will come together to form a nation. And then according to Revelation chapter 17, it says these 10 kings or kingdoms will yield their authority to this man, giving their total surrender and allegiance to him. So he'll have the wealth as well as the military power of 10 nations coming together. So he will be able to accomplish what is in his heart to do. The second thing, and this is probably one of the most important things about the Antichrist of the last days, says he shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods. And this obviously is beginning to relate to the religious aspect of this empire. But the Antichrist will be a political leader, but also he'll be a religious leader. A religious leader to the extent that he will claim to be God. And this is clearly also found in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 6, which reads this way, "Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven." Then moving over to Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18, it describes how the other leader in this empire, who we commonly call the false prophet, will also direct worship and devotion to the Antichrist. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And moving over to Revelation 13, verses 14 through 18, it describes how the false prophet, this other leader among this last world empire, will cause all the people to worship the Antichrist. It says in verse 14, "And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and was healed. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." So there will be this worship of this man in the last days. And then this is where the number 666 comes in verses 17 and 18 of the chapter, reads this way, "And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. So there will be these three identifying marks. According to verse 17, it says who has the mark, that's the first thing, or the name of the beast, that's the second, and the third is or the number of his name. And somewhere on the person's body, they'll be marked to identify their allegiance to this man as God, and that they must worship him, or they will not be able to participate in this buying or selling of this economic system that will be set up. Another very important passage on the worship of the Antichrist is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where Paul is speaking of the same individual. He says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And this prophecy gets more specific in that the Antichrist will actually go into the temple that will be rebuilt at some point, go into the holies of holies and demand to be worshiped as God. And according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, he will cause a sacrificial system to stop and demand that he be worshiped in its place. So the last world leader is, yes, a political leader, but also he'll establish his own religion, which brings worship to himself. And the third thing that's said in verse 36 is that there's an appointed time for this leader to be raised up. It says, "And he shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done." And here it speaks of this wrath being accomplished, which is primarily a reference to the wrath of God, which is poured out during the tribulation period. And for 7 years, during the last 7 years before the Lord comes back and establishes his kingdom, the wrath of God will be poured out upon all those that have rejected the Lord, and really upon the entire planet. And that is the time period that God is going to allow the Antichrist to be raised up. There's an important insight on this subject in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 17, which speaks of these 10 kings that are going to yield their power to the authority of the Antichrist. And it reads this way, "For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled." And so here we see that God himself is the one who is allowing the Antichrist to be raised up to establish a kingdom, will have all authority and control over it, and then to demand that the entire world worship him. And as that takes place, then comes Revelation chapter 19, where Jesus Christ comes out of heaven and squashes all this rebellion and rejection of him. So it's extremely important to understand that this is all within God's will, that God is the one pulling the strings of these last days events, all setting it up so that he could pour out his wrath, and that's when everything is going to be accomplished. An important point in light of what I've just said is actually looking at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. A lot of people like to call the last book of the Bible Revelations plural. That's not completely accurate. Verse 1 of the book reads this way, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place." And here it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the last book of the Bible, we get a greater picture of the true nature and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a revelation or an unfolding about who Jesus is. This word revelation was actually used when a statue was going to be unveiled. Usually there'd be something covering it. And when that covering was removed, then that statue was revealed and you could see it more clearly. Before that, you could just see the outward frame of it or maybe the size of it, but once that cover was removed, then you could see the detail. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. It's a revelation giving more accurate detail about the person and nature of Jesus Christ. As you read through the book of Revelation, it's obviously a different revelation of the nature and character of Jesus, and you see him in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of his earthly ministry. Here in the book of Revelation, it primarily focuses on God's wrath being poured out. And the wrath of God is a primary focus of the book. Actually, in Revelation 6 through 19, it actually describes the tribulation period in detail. And the main focus is that that is when the Lord will pour out his wrath during that time. So I want you to understand that God is in control of everything. He's in control of the tribulation period. He's in control of allowing the Antichrist to be raised up. Just to give you a glimpse, just a small glimpse of the intensity of this wrath during the tribulation period, in Revelation chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, it reads this way, "Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand?'" So even the unbelievers of that day are going to see that this is the wrath of God being poured out. And so the book of Revelation is revealing more about Jesus Christ, that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming, and when he comes back, He is going to pour out his wrath through that last 7 years and then ultimately establish his throne in authority and great power. And I always take great comfort in what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 on the subject, where he says, we're waiting for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And so I believe that God has a plan for the nation of Israel during this tribulation period, which will be accomplished when he pours out his wrath. But for the church, we're waiting for Jesus to come and deliver us from that time period, to rapture us, to take us to be with the Lord forever. And then God begins to move in those last 7 years to redeem the nation of Israel back to himself by allowing the Antichrist to be raised up, by bringing his judgment upon the planet. But also within that whole process, he's going to be bringing salvation to the nation of Israel once again, because God is faithful to his promises. In our next few studies, we'll continue to look at the role of the Antichrist that he plays as revealed in the book of Daniel.